Were you a cheeky kid? A naughty kid even? Perhaps you are a parent right now in a spin about your own child's errant behaviour in the classroom. If so, take heart. Captain Underpants is here to the rescue. Possibly not Professor Poopy Pants, though, or Tippy Twinkle Trousers. Yes, American author Dave Pilkey is creator of the much-loved and ginormously successful series of books for children, The Adventures of Captain Underpants. And Dave was that mischievous child, the class clown, in another guise, perhaps the problem child. Reading was a big challenge for him when he was a kid, as was spelling and sitting still, but he loved creating comic stories and Captain Underpants and the tyrannical retaliation of the Turbo Toilet is his latest saga, 70 million copies, 11 books later. There are clearly advantages to wearing your undies on the outside. Welcome, Dave Pilkey, to Life Matters.
Thanks, Natasha. It's great to be here.
It is 11 books, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, the 11th one comes out in Australia in September.
Problem child and class clown. Is this you?
That was me, actually, yeah. And in grade two, I misbehaved so much in class that my teacher actually moved a desk out into the corridor for me. That's where she kept me most of the time.
You're kidding me.
No, it's true.
Was that her strategy?
I think so. I was very disruptive in the classroom. So she would put me out there and I would draw my comics and have a good time. And I think everybody was much happier.
What were you doing in that classroom? People will be interested to know whether you are, in fact, channeling yourself into George Beard and Harold Hutchins, your two little boy characters.
Yeah. I was just kind of the class clown, like you said. I was always, every time the teacher would say something, I'd always have a smart-alecky comment to make. And so George and Harold are actually kind of my alter egos.
Where do you think that was coming from?
Well, I had attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and I had dyslexia and a few other issues. So sitting still was really difficult for me as a child. And, you know, I think it's difficult for a lot of kids. They're expected to sit still and pay attention, and it's really tough.
Now, you use those labels now, those two diagnoses now, dyslexia, attention deficit, hyperactivity disorder. Were they mm-hmm. used to describe you then officially?
Dyslexia was. However, the term attention deficit hyperactivity disorder did not exist when I was a kid. I was diagnosed with hyperactivity, severe hyperactivity, and with attention problems and learning difficulties.
How do you view those labels now, I wonder? Thinking back to your younger self, your little self, that little, little kid who was acting up but still creating something quite amazing.
You know, it wasn't a great experience for me at the time. I remember being very, very frustrated in school. I would come home crying a lot of times, and I would say to my mom, all the teachers hate me, and it's terrible out there. And my mother would always say, well, you know, honey, sometimes things happen for a reason, and maybe something good will come out of this. And I feel like something good has come out of it because it really helped to inspire the Captain Underpants series. And now I have the opportunity to talk to children all over the world and tell them about my problems.
Yeah.
And many of those people, many of those children have the same problems.
So really, I think they connecting feel, with those kids.
That's true.
And in fact, kids will love to hear that Captain Underpants, he who is fighting for truth, justice and all that is pre-shrunk and cottony, he landed in your world really at the tender age of 8.
That's right, yes.
How?
Yeah. Well, it started with my grade 2 teacher who was talking to the class one day, and she happened to say the word underwear, and everyone just burst out laughing.
I know, you just want to laugh, don't you? What is it about that?
Of course. I have no idea why that's so funny. I think as young children, maybe between the ages of 1 and 3, we're constantly being taught potty training. And so the parents are talking about underwear and diapers and putting our poo-poo and pee-pee in the toilets like big boys and girls. And then once we master that skill, we're never allowed to talk about it again.
It's bizarre, isn't it? We're told to obsess about it.
Right.
Master it, and then absolutely not utter another word about it in public.
No.
And we're weird, aren't we, humans?
We are weird, yeah.
So where did he come from?
Well, he came from that moment when the teacher said the word underwear, and everyone around me started to laugh. It for me, that was an amazing, like, transforming moment, because I realized that underwear is a very powerful word. It makes everybody laugh. And so I started drawing Captain Underpants that day.
At eight?
At eight, yes.
Now, what about the other characters that surround Captain Under? Well, actually, let's start with him, because he is created, in a sense, by your two little boy characters.
That's true.
George and Harold. Yes. They hypnotise their school principal, Mr. Krupp. Mm-hmm. Things go rather wrong, or perhaps right. Did that school principal, is he an incarnation of something from your earlier life too?
He is, actually. He's an incarnation of the school principal that I had in primary school in grades 2 through 5. And also I had a very cruel and mean teacher in high school, or a principal in high school. And so I kind of mixed those two characters together to make Mr. Krupp.
He's truly vile, isn't he? For a person who's in charge of a school of children,
he despises
every one of them.
Yes, that's true. He does not like kids at all.
So in portraying him in that way, I mean, kids' books have a range of different adult figures in them. They're often the compassionate grown up. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're the absent figure. The kids are just getting on with their real business, their magical business.
Right.
In yours, the adults, more often than not, are evil figures. Why? Are you messing with kids' heads here and their sense of authority?
No, I don't think so. It's very true to my own childhood, because a lot of the teachers that I had, in fact, most of the teachers I had in elementary school or primary school and in high school, were very vicious and cruel people. However, there are some good grown-ups in the Captain Underpants series, and that's the parental figures. Mm. George and Harold's parents are very kind and loving. And that's kind of true to my own childhood as well, because I had very supportive and very kind parents. And I think that's what helped me to become a success, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So what do teachers think of the portrayal of them as characters in this book, of their series?
You know, I don't really have too many teachers complaining about that type of thing. It's done in fun, I think, in the books. And so usually teachers are very, very supportive, and they love the books. And I don't think I've had any children ever say that their teachers were like the teachers in the book. So I think everyone understands the difference between the fantasy and the reality.
And certainly I'm a great supporter of the enormous anti-bullying theme in these books as well. That's a big part of it for you, isn't it?
Of course, yeah. Yeah. Bullying is I think it's a worldwide problem.
It sure is. The maker of Captain Underpants is my guest on Life Matters this morning, Dave Pilkey. And you may be familiar, if you have children, you are sure to be familiar with his series, 11 books now. Dave, let's go back to those beginnings then. So you, at age 8, there you are, you create this character. How did he actually come then into being a publishing phenomenon?
Well, I started writing and illustrating children's books when I was 19. I did picture books for the most part, and I would talk to children all over the United States about my experiences growing up and sitting in the hallway, and also the way I thought and learned differently. I thought it was important to share that with kids, because I know a lot of kids think and learn differently. And usually I would go right into my childhood experience of creating Captain Underpants, and that was always a big hit when I would talk to children. The children would always raise their hand and they would say, "Mr. Pilkey, are you ever going to write a book about Captain Underpants?" And I would say, "Well, I don't know. Do you think I should?" And they would, the room would explode with enthusiasm. So I think it was around that time I decided it might be a good idea to do that.
I actually think it was a teacher at a key point in your life at college.
Yes.
So despite Mr. Krupp being a nasty pasty, what happened at college? A teacher really encouraged you in your goofing off and drawing cartoons.
Well, that's true. I had a teacher, a freshman English teacher, and she was walking around the room one day, and she's looked down at my notebook, and she saw that it was filled with cartoon characters that I was drawing. And she asked me to stay behind after class, and I thought, oh no, I'm in trouble again. And she said, "Dave, you know, I understand that you like to draw and you're really talented at that. You should write children's books because you're a great writer." And no one had ever pointed that out to me before. And I was so encouraged by that I wrote my first children's book that year.
Mm. So teachers have a place.
Oh, of course, of course. I'm very pro-teacher.
Now, let's look at how those early experiences of and struggle for you of reading, of being dyslexic, has influenced the way you shape these books. And I'm particularly taken by them being chock full, no doubt you get lots of questions about this, chock full of lots of spelling mistakes. You seem to revel in writing in the way children will write when they're just starting out with language.
Yes. These spelling errors only occur in certain sections of the books, and those are the sections that are homemade comics that are written and illustrated by the two main characters. And I think, in a way, I'm just being authentic because I made comics when I was a child and they were filled with spelling errors and grammatical inconsistencies. And so I think that's just kind of the way that children write.
Mm. That comics themselves get a bad press as not being real reading. And how do you feel about that whole debate about kids' obsession with comics over and above standard text?
Well, I think it's natural for kids to be drawn to comics because the words and the pictures work together. The pictures will give children contextual clues to the meanings of the words. And so it's very important, I think, for especially for beginning readers and struggling readers. And I think it's natural that children will be drawn to that. And I don't know, are comics considered lower class here in Australia?
Well, I'm not sort of tapped into the whole comic vein, although do you still live in Japan? I mean, you're surrounded by the manga genre. Comics reign absolutely supreme in Japan.
Oh, yes, yes. And also in Europe, they're very highly respected. They're not looked down upon the way they are in the United States.
Number 10, Captain Underpants and the Revolting Revenge for the Radioactive Roboboxes. Did that come from your experience in Japan?
It did, actually. Like I said before, there's certain sections where George and Harold will write their own comics in each story, and the comics play a role in each story. And when I was in Japan, my wife and I became very close to two little girls who live near us. And my wife speaks Japanese fluently, but I don't. And these little girls don't speak English. And so it's been difficult communicating with these little girls because we don't have language in common. Mm. However, we have a lot of other things in common.
The visual language.
Oh, of course, yes. We're always just drawing. We're drawing, yeah, and we're listening to the same music, and we're running around and dancing and playing together. And I thought that was very, very interesting how people who don't share the same language can communicate on a very personal level. And so that inspired the comic that George and Harold created on the wall of a cave because they're trying to communicate with cavemen who do not speak their language. And so they created a wordless comic. Just only pictures, and they inspire the cavemen to rise up and defeat the villains.
Well,
with this comic,
if we think about the villains and the tyrannical retaliation of the turbo toilet and the revolting revenge for the radioactive robo boxes, does good always win over evil?
In my books, they do. Yes.
Is it that black and white in kids' minds?
You know, I'm not sure about that, but in my books, it definitely is. I always have the good guys win. I think it's important for children to feel like there is hope out there. And so the good guys are always the winners in my books.
This has given you incredible access, Dave, to children around the world. And I guess I'm interested in how you reflect on children's relationship to their own creative potential, because you tapped into that source very early on and then you kept it alive into your adult life. And here you are creating Captain Underpants as your day job, which is, you know, some people's fantasy job.
Yes, yeah.
How do you see creativity shifting when you talk to really little kids and then you talk to slightly older children? What do you observe?
Well, it's interesting because when you ask a second or third grader if they like to write and draw, usually every single child will raise up their hand and they'll be so enthusiastic and they'll cheer. They love to create their own stories and they love to draw. But if you talk to groups of kids maybe in grades 4, 5, and 6, not so many hands go up. Mm. And I've always found that curious, like how come as children get older they don't feel as creative, or perhaps they're a little stifled in their creativity. Mm. And I think it's because they're afraid to fail. They're afraid to look foolish in front of everyone else.
And to improvise.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, you certainly transcended that fear, and I imagine many of us would like to. And in fact, there's an app, there's a film in the works, there's a DreamWorks creation slated, I think, for 2017.
That's right.
What does all that mean for you? Are you having to kind of let go of that creative control over what happens to Captain Undies in the world?
Yes, I am. I think it's about time I have. I'm getting to the point where I think I've done almost everything I can with this character. And I was very... Oh, well...
I can feel children screaming in terror at the prospect.
Oh, no. Well, you know how George and Harold make their own comics? They do have spin-offs. So they've created a series called Super Diaper Baby and another series... called The Adventures of Ook and Gluck, Kung Fu Cavemen from the Future. And that's the thing that really inspires me now is to actually write graphic novels with the voices of George and Harold. And so there are going to be a lot more books like that. And I think that's where the Captain Underpants series is evolving for me.
Do you think George and Harold will ever grow up?
No, they will never grow up. I think they'll always be 9 and 10 years old.
And what about you?
I hope I never grow up either. I'm getting older, and I'm almost 50 now, but I still feel like I think like a kid.
So wonderful to have you on Life Matters and on Radio National this morning. Thank you, Dave Pilkey.
Thank you so much, Natasha. This was great fun.
Dave Pilkey, creator, author and cartoonist of Captain Underpants, among many other stories for children. We'll put a link to Dave's website on ours if you'd like to explore further. On Life Matters, Natasha Mitchell with you this morning. Great to have your company today. Look, certainly classrooms are a very competitive environment, and we've heard about two different experiences of the classroom today so far on the show. Well, we're going to talk about competition next.